in dependence upon thee, Lord, for all needed help. I will venture to draw your prayerful attention to Psalm 118 and verse 25. Psalm 118, verse 25. Save now, I beseech thee, O Lord, O Lord, I beseech thee, send now prosperity. The words of this text give expression to the prayerful desire and longing of the psalmist of old, and will find a place in the heart of the godly today. And we might ask ourselves this question: do I pray? 'Tis oft we say a prayer, perhaps, but do I truly pray? Is there prayer in my prayers? Am I left just to words, just to outward form, when the fire tries the work of whatsoever sort it is, what a consuming there is of that which is wood and hay and stubble, that which is of the flesh, that which is just a dead form, that which is perhaps with even much speaking and yet a destitute of prayer, that which the Lord Jesus warns us about, namely vain repetition. And yet you will observe in the words of our text that there are six words here that are twice repeated. Those words are, I beseech thee, O Lord, and the little word, now. I do not say they are in the exact order, but nevertheless they are twice repeated. Now this is no vain repetition, and we must ever remember this, that the Lord Jesus in Gethsemane's garden went away the second time, yea, the third time, and prayed the same words. And we must also remember this, how that the dear Saviour spent all night in prayer unto his Father. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. I mention this because those that are spiritually exercised and over their prayers may be tried by the enemy of souls as to the repetition in their prayers. You may, for example, feel, and it's not a bad mark at all, that the word mercy is found so oft repeated in your prayer. And yet, my friend, there's no vain repetition if this springs from the heart. Why? The mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear God. And the mercy of the Lord endureth forever. And that mercy is flowing still full and still free. And therefore, my friend, the vilest sinner who lives to feel his need is welcome at the throne of grace, the Saviour's blood to plead. And that cry for mercy will spring up often from your soul. It did from those prayers recorded in the Word of God. Have mercy upon me, O Lord, have mercy upon me. And why blind Bartimaeus, when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth passing by, he cried out and he said, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And you know they tried to silence the poor man, and yet he cried out the more. And it was the same petition. It was the same cry for mercy. Now, my dear friend, there's no vain repetition there. And you may say, well, I also find in my petition that I need an oft plead for cleansing and for pardon. And my dear friend, the Word declares that the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. And whilst and all the time we're on this earth, we sin, and we need, and we seek, and we plead the precious blood. And that precious blood, why, the hymn tells us, dear dying Lamb, thy precious blood shall never lose its power, till all the ransomed church of God be saved to sin no more. And then you may plead, and doubtless do and will, if you are a child of God, a new creature, a born again sinner, a believer in Jesus, oh, how you long for the kisses of his mouth, how you will pray to know more of that love of the Lord to your soul. Is this vain repetition? I think not. That you then may be able with all saints to comprehend what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, and to be filled with all the fullness of God is a river of love. And it's a river, why, it covers the ankles, it comes up to the knees, to the loins, and is a river to swim in. It is like this, a taste of that love. Then our soul will plead for more, and pray that we may know of a river to swim in, a sweet sense of that love, that we may be assured of it. A sweet hope in his mercy, that we may be granted gracious liberty and assurance. So, my dear friend, plead on, pray on. We have to confess the poverty of our prayers. And yet, my dear friend, I believe there's more prayer when we don't think we pray. And maybe very little prayer when we think we have prayed. I believe there's much prayer that is without words. I believe there's much prayer that is expressed in a groan. For as the apostle writing to the in the epistle to the Romans speaks of it, and it's a very precious word and of much encouragement as we would go to the throne of grace and there The apostle says, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. It's a great mercy to have a spiritual groan, and a groan gives the evidence of life. The dead groan not. You may feel under the groaning of your soul, not far off, as it were, from death. I mean feeling that there's death on everything, and wonder what reality there is in your religion. And yet, my friend, a groan. You don't know how to word a prayer, perhaps. You don't know how to express the anguish of your soul under the burden of your sin and a sense of the holiness of God. And how shall I flee from the wrath to come? What will become of me? Where shall I spend eternity? Is it well with my soul? All the groans, my dear friend, the psalmist said, all my desire is before thee, and my groaning is not hid from thee. And seek now to examine these words that are repeated. And we would look first at this little word, I. Is it true of you? Friend, you've come to the house of God tonight. What prayer has there been between your soul and God before you came here? What prayer has there been in secret? The Lord knows. He knows whether you've been as Nathanael under the fig tree. My dear friend, we ask another question. Are you this I? Do you know what it is to come to the Lord? Do you know what it is to cry for mercy? You may say to me, well, surely you're assured of that, aren't you? Because we're here in chapel tonight, I'm not assured of it at all. I dare not be. I feel and I fear and I dread that there are many that their lifetime have sat and do sit under the truth and will sink to hell. That live just on an outward form and a dead profession. They'll be as the foolish virgin. Oh, they were with the wise. They were in good company. They looked like the wise, dressed like the wise. Even the wise didn't know they were foolish and hadn't the oil. That's a very solemn thing, isn't it? No minister can make any dividing line in a congregation. Now, mark what I say. The minister can't do it. We know not who are the Lord's. By that, I mean, of course, we are assured as one and another come before the church. We have the sweet hope that they are the Lord's. And some that haven't come before the church, we mark their conversation and we mark their walk and have a hope that it is well with them. But no minister can draw the line, but the word will. That will separate. And so, my friend, it is a very solemn observation that I make in this matter, that we can be dead as the seat we sit on and sit there all our life under the truth. And yet, my friend, to be destitute of the power of it. I say this, I. And I don't know just the number that there are here tonight, but you see, my dear friend, each one of us have a never-dying soul. The body will die, and that will be buried. If, as we view it, unless the Lord should come. But what of the soul? We know that the body will be raised on the day of resurrection, and we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, but the soul returns unto God that gave it. And where will eternity be spent? You see, the dear Lord will then separate finally and eternally the sheep from the goats, the wise virgins and the foolish. It will be discovered then, won't it? And it will be a lamentable cry if any of us should cry out in that great day, our lamps are gone out. The spark of our own kindling, our religion, that it's a dead one, Christless one, lifeless one, and it's too late. What a solemn matter this is, and what little thought we give to the value of the soul. And yet if we really pause to consider that it costs the Saviour his precious blood to redeem sinners, and what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Should he gain the whole world, he'll be the poorer and lose his own soul. My friend, does this eye then, I know this is the eye of the psalmist, but is this you? Does it gather you in? Then do you know what it is to pray very earnestly that your soul may be made ready for eternity? Are you a stranger to a cry like this? Prepare me, gracious God, to stand before thy face. Thy Spirit must the work perform, for it is all of grace. Now be very careful there. We may be guilty of just vain repetition. We may just utter the words and yet there be no thought or prayer in our heart. But my friend, is it, give me Christ or else I die, I, says the psalmist. Now come to the next word, beseech. What does that mean? It means to beg. It means to prostrate ourselves down at the feet of the Lord. It means to come as a poor guilty sinner. It means to speak from our poor hearts and plead that the Lord will have mercy. To beseech. It means urgency. It means that a poor thing may be ready to sink, may feel in despair, and may feel that there's none to help. I beseech thee. The illustration of the beauty and power of such a word as this can be seen in the Gospel. Who was it that came beseeching Jesus Christ? Well, the leper was one, the centurion was another, Jairus was another, the father of the poor lad that, you know, was so possessed with the evil spirit that it tear him. They all besought Jesus, and that word indicates their felt need. A desperate condition, and they came to Jesus, Why, the man full of leprosy, when he saw Jesus, he besought him, came to him beseeching him. It was a real matter, wasn't it? It was a heavy burden. And my friend, is sin like that to you? What do you think about sin? Oh, it worries you sometimes, alarms you sometimes, touches the conscience sometimes. But is it a burden? Is it that, my friend, under the conviction of it, that leads you to the Lord to seek for mercy and to plead for pardon? You see, many can be alarmed, maybe under the ministry, maybe like Felix, as Paul reasoned of righteousness and temperance and judgment to come. He trembled, but he said, I'll call for you at a convenient season. He put it away. Many may be alarmed for a moment, as it were, and then it's all forgotten. But if we're truly convinced of sin, it will be a burden that we shall bear, and there's no relief but through the precious blood of Jesus Christ. No peace but that perfect peace in the knowledge of blood applied and sin pardoned. I beseech thee. Oh, my friend, that there might be more urgency in our prayers. And then to whom does this poor sinner come? We take the next three words together. Thee, O Lord. Thee. Well, haven't you anyone else? No other way? You say, that's one thing I know. If ever my poor soul be saved, at last is Christ must be the way. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there's none upon earth that I desire beside thee. Will thee also go away? Lord, to whom can we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. I beseech thee. It's thou, O Christ, art all I want, all in all. In thee I find, there's none other. Neither is there salvation in any other. There's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. What about the next little letter? A word with one letter, O. And don't pass that over too quickly. What does it signify? Well, I feel it sets forth the expression of the pent-up, longing desire of a living soul. It springs from the very depths of his heart. It rises up over the mountains of his sin, over the great guilt that he feels. It rises up, though it seems, how can there be mercy for me? How can there be hope for such a wretch as I? And yet, oh Lord, I said, there's more eloquence, perhaps in silent prayers. I know that's a paradox, but you'll understand what I mean. How oft, my friend, you'll know what it is in providential distress and spiritual trial to come and perhaps go no further than that. Oh Lord, you, as it were, feel you can't put it in words, but you prostrate yourself at the throne of grace and plead the Lord to have mercy upon you. And the expression, O Lord, is, Lord, I cannot tell thee, I cannot put into words the burden of my sin, the trial I'm in, the felt corruptions within, and the dark path, and all that is overwhelming me.
but I come, O Lord, as like Jeremiah did, O Lord, thou knowest. Remember me and visit me. So the prayer, I beseech thee, O Lord. Now you will observe that the word Lord is in capital letters. That means the Trinity. That means God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And, oh my dear friend, how you will seek the Jehovah God, the Trinity in unity, all concerned in the salvation of the election of grace. Why, you'll plead to know the Father's love. You'll plead to be led of the Spirit to say, My Father. And to know the rich blessing, your Heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. My God, my Father, blissful name, oh, may I call thee mine. May I with sweet assurance claim a portion so divine. Bless me with this, Lord. And though it may be under the chastening hand of God the Father, yet to see there his love, and there to have the assurance, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. I beseech thee, O Lord, a coming to the Lord Jesus, just as I am, and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come. Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling, O Lord. And oh, for the sweet teaching, influence, power, and unction of the Holy Spirit, to take of the things of Jesus and reveal them to us, to convince us of sin and lead to Jesus Christ. Conduct, bless, guide thy sinner train to Calvary, where the Lamb was slain, and with us there abide. The love of God, says the Apostle, which is shed in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. And you know, that's a very beautiful word, that shed abroad in our hearts. It means the heart is drenched with it. It means it's saturated with it, as it were. Or you, as you think of a penetrating rain and softening in its influence. Or you may think of oil, how it penetrates. That's what it means, shed abroad in its penetration into my heart. O Lord, I beseech thee. I beseech thee, O Lord. And then look, O Lord, the one that is the only one that I can go to. I am God, and there is none else. And so, my friend, it is to the Lord alone, and the God that is above all. What a mercy this is. His throne endureth forever. Thou, O God, remainest. The Lord God omnipotent reigneth. The earth is tottering to its ruin. Sin in the nation, a lack of the Spirit in the churches, and declension is very, very solemn. Antichrist and all the evils of this country, apart from the world that lieth in wickedness, I need not enlarge the solemn state. Zion is in a low place. The name of God and the word of truth is blasphemed and set at naught. Many have turned from the old paths, broken homes, broken marriages, lawlessness, disobedience, unruly children. My friend, strikes, drug taking, all the evils that we can possibly name or think of, lusts of the flesh, lovers of pleasure and of themselves. My friend, it's a very solemn state, and the evil power of Rome, modernism, atheism, communism, but God is above. Lose not sight of that, brethren. The Lord God, omnipotent, reigneth. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. So let us thank God and take courage and pray for grace to walk in his fear and to be a light in the small corner in which we are placed, a witness. Ye are my witnesses, and that we may show forth the praises of him who hath called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. And then one more thought here, and we pass on. Thou, O Lord, the only God, the Lord God that is above all, and the God that is able. And blessed be God for that. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Your providential case, he can cause iron to swim. He can make water to stand up as a wall. He can feed the multitude. And my friend, I say, he can command ravens to feed. He can make that handful of meal and little oil to supply the need. I say, he can shut the lion's mouth, and the fire shall not kindle. The hair of your head shall not be singed. The bonds loosed in the fire. Our God is able, and then spiritually, able to save to the uttermost, able to succor those that are tempted, able to deliver, able, my friend, I say, to keep that which we have committed unto him against that day, able to keep you from falling, able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or even think, able to make all grace abound toward you. My friend, what a God! I speak with reverence. How great he is, how good he is. Then my soul, go to him. Now, let us consider the last word of these repeated words, and it's the little word now. I don't know what your now is. The Lord does. Job says, he knoweth the way that I take, and when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Well, my dear friend, however dark your now is, however perplexing, however lonely, however difficult, take it to the Lord in prayer. Ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. The Lord knows what your now is. Burdened sinner, cast down soul, weary one, come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Oh, what encouragements there are. Now, so my friend, look up. Jesus Christ, your Father's Son, bids you, undismayed, go on. But now, Let us consider the two petitions then, the few remaining words. One word remaining is save, and the other two, send prosperity. Save. Save now. This may be viewed providentially then. Maybe you're in trouble. Maybe you know not how your providential need may be supplied. Maybe, my friend, you're in some path when, like Peter, you're looking at the waves and you begin to sink. Save me, Lord. Oh, save now. My friend, our God is a very present help in trouble. And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Are not five sparrows sold for 2 farthings? Not one of them is forgotten of God. Fear not, ye are more value than many sparrows. All think on it. Save now. Perhaps you're in a path in trouble. And there seems no way out. There seems a mountain that can never be brought down. A valley that seems to be the valley of death to you. It may be, my friend, that you're pressed beyond all measure. And it seems so impossible. Save now. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Have faith in God. Seek grace to look up. Call upon him. I will be with him in trouble, says the Lord. The Lord can make a way and does where there's no way. Oh, I say, my friend, isn't this a prayer we need? Save now. I beseech thee, O Lord, I beseech thee. Save. But oh, save me from my sin. Thou who art able to save to the uttermost. The dear Lord Jesus, his name is Jesus, thou, for he shall save his people from their sin. Save me, Lord. Oh, say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. Assure my conscience of its part in the Redeemer's blood. Bear thy witness with my heart that I am born of God. Save now. Oh Lord, the years are passing. I need the assurance. I need credential for the end. I know not how near the end I may be. Save now. Save me from myself. Save me from my pride. Save me in the day of prosperity. What? In the day of prosperity? What do you mean by that? I was speaking to a friend who's been much favoured in a business, and I felt very touched with what he said. He felt the need of the Lord, and he had to beg of the Lord that he wouldn't be left to Nebuchadnezzar, who looked upon that Babylon and said, this Babylon that I have builded, or words of that effect. My friend, we need this prayer when the sun is shining, when your field is full, when your crop is a heavy one, and your barns are bursting, if ever there's such a time. You need to pray earnestly in the day of prosperity, lest our heart should grow cold, lest idols should be formed, lest we should abuse God's gift. And certainly, of course, to pray in adversity. Lord, help me. Why is it that thou dealest with me thus? What voice is it? Is it correction for my folly? Is there secret sin? Is there an idol? Is it that I have grieved thy spirit? Save me, Lord. Save me from this world that lieth in wickedness. Save me from error. Save me from these people that so plausibly speak of the word of God and yet whose heart is not right. Save me from Satan's power, his temptations, the onslaughts of the enemy. Save me, yea, Lord, when he comes with the wiles of the devil. Save me when my path is dark. Save me when I'm ready to despair. Save me lest I should turn back and walk no more with thy people, and lest I should not follow thee. Save me, Lord, when I fear I shall deny thee, when I fear that I shall love the world more than Jesus Christ. Save me lest I should be ashamed of Jesus Christ. Save me when my flesh shrinks from taking up the cross and following thee. Save me, Lord. Save me lest I should fall. Keep me from falling. Now lastly and briefly, send now prosperity. Oh, my friend, I do pray that personally we and collectively in Zion, we may see yet more spiritual prosperity. Now I feel before this there'll be much to be done. I feel that there's much rubbish. A builder that is going to build, he'll clear the ground, do a good foundation. Or to take a homely picture of you, dear friends, in the country with your rose bushes, your fruit trees. I looked at some as I journeyed today, as I would gather that had been pruned and cut back, and I noticed the shaping of them, the expert hand. I couldn't have done it. I should have probably harmed the poor tree than done it good, but you see, the expert hand. Why all that cut off? I remember as a little boy in my grandfather's nurseries, I earned pocket money by picking up the pieces that the men that had pruned the trees had cut off, and some, you know, there was a lot to pick up. And we might think, well, why all this? Why all this? Shouldn't you let it grow? The bigger, surely, the more fruit. Well, you know the answer there far better than I do. The pruning is for more fruit, precious fruit, needful. Send now prosperity. And that one may be healthy in soul, lively in spirit. Send now prosperity, the showers of blessing. Or have we not grieved the Spirit? Is there not a withholding of the Spirit in the churches? Is there something in our heart, a wrong spirit to somebody else? Have we lacked in forgiving someone? Have we lacked because we've not said to someone, look, I'm sorry, I was wrong? These things can be damaging and hurtful to spiritual prosperity and robbing to the enjoyment of these spiritual blessings, joy and peace in believing. But I must leave the word. The time has gone. I pray that this may be our prayer then. Save now, I beseech thee, O Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, send now prosperity. I just add this, that there was a king, a godly king of old Uzziah, I think it was, that the testimony was all the time, or while all the length of time that he sought the Lord, he prospered. And this is our place, to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto us. The Lord grant in the midst of Zion a godly increase, spiritual prosperity, a gracious reviving. Amen.